us pray. Father, we call you Father, the God of creation, Elohim, and Almighty God, El Shaddai, and yet we call you our Father. Thank you for the relationship that you imparted to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we are joyful because you have joy over us, and we felt loved because you initiated your love and show and demonstrated your love through your Son, Jesus Christ, again. We are so grateful for being part of your kingdom and being part of your church family that Jesus has started. Let your Holy Spirit hover over us and continue to lead us and guide us into the path of righteousness to your glory. We commit our heart this morning to your Spirit, and let your words be proclaimed to each one of us, so that we would bear much fruit out of that, even to hundredfolds, to your glory. Father, we thank you for this time, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Truth is an entity that must be loved with all our hearts and all our mind. The love of the truth will usher us to overcome the history's most wicked era that is coming to us. What will happen during the tribulation? Tribulation is a period which Jesus predicted as the darkest era and the hardest period to endure. During this time, Antichrist will emerge. We hope we don't have to face such a terrible period of time, but since we don't know when this would come, we should be prepared for it and know how to overcome it. In order to be well prepared and overcome, we have to know what will have to happen during the tribulation. So would you please turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Today we are going to cover verses 1 to 12, and we begin with the first couple of verses. And here is the word of God. And now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed, either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. It seems that the church in Thessalonica was shaken or disturbed by some source with the news that the day of the Lord has come already. The source was obviously not a letter from Paul, but we could only guess that a false teacher or false letter may have been circulated as if that came from Paul. Another possibility of the source of deception was a spirit. In this case, seems to indicate there was some prophetic words by some teacher who claimed that Jesus has already come. Actually, Jesus also made a similar warning against deceptions in Mark 13:7. Jesus said, "When you hear of words or rumors of wars, do not be frightened. These things must take place, but this is not yet the end." So, as the end is approaching, we'll see this sort of deceptions, whatever of their nature. And Paul's intention here is that the church should find its balance and stability of the heart and the mind in the midst of false teachers and deception, especially in view of the day of the Lord. And tribulation is typically referred to as a period that lasts 7 years before the Lord of the day of the Lord. A day of the Lord is the second coming of Jesus. And this tribulation, which lasts 7 years according to Revelation, is the same thing of the last week of the Daniel. If you remember 70 week of Daniel, after 6th, 9th week, the time was held. And we have kind of parenthesis period now until the tribulation will take place, which is the 70th week according to Daniel. So what will have to happen during this period? Let's look at verse 3. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. So if you read the first portion of this verse 3, before the day of the Lord, during the tribulation, the apostasy must take place. And second part of verse 3, also man of lawlessness will emerge, who is referred to as the Antichrist. But let's look at apostasy. Apostasy means falling away from the truth of the Word of God. So apostasy will take place within the church. You're not talking about outside of the church, because the world is already in the darkness. There's nothing further they will fall from. But apostasy will take place in the church. And there were certainly false teachers in Paul's day, but the church at large was built on and maintained the truth of the Word of God. And however, this is not true anymore. We live in an era where people say they are Christians, yet deny the central truth of the Word of God, such as a deity of Jesus and the inerrancy of the Scripture. Barna Research in 2016 found that almost three-quarters of Americans, 73%, say they are a Christian. And the same research in 2015 shows these statistics. Only 56% of American adults believe that Jesus is God. And the rest of 44% does not believe that Jesus is God. They either consider Jesus as a spiritual leader, like Muhammad or Buddha, or they are not sure whether Jesus was divine. So 44% of Americans do not believe Jesus is God. Only 56%. And that statistics, the percentage of adults who believe Jesus is God is decreasing. And Gallup 2017 reports that only 24% of Americans believe that the Bible is the literal word of God, which refers to as inerrancy of the Bible. And 42% of Americans believe the Bible is inspired word of God. May not be inerrant word of God, but they at least believe it's inspired. So only 42%, which is less than 50%, one out of two believe that Bible is inspired word of God. And I believe that we can safely say that apostasy is taking place already on a steady pace over the course of time, and we are living in an era of apostasy. And a second thing that we'll see during the tribulation is the man of lawlessness will emerge. In the midst of apostasy, Apostle Paul tells us that the man of lawlessness is revealed, will be revealed, who is the son of destruction. This man is a person, not a system. We commonly call this man the Antichrist. The man of lawlessness is same as the Antichrist. And Antichrist, the word is coined in 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, and also described as beast in Revelation. But this man will also try to replace Christ, as his name is Antichrist, against Christ, and declaring his divinity. One indicator of this man is he is the man of lawlessness, antinomian in theological term. An antinomian is basically denying the commands of Jesus. That's why it's antinomian. They assert that we don't have to observe the law or commands of Jesus in the Bible. And this man will also purge the commandment of Jesus. He will be in all ways and directions against Jesus and promote himself as God. Historically, some people view that maybe Pope may be one of Antichrist. But if you look at verse 4, and who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. So from this verse, we know that the third thing that will take place during the tribulation, the church will be desecrated. The church will be desecrated. This is a picture of Daniel 7, 10 horns. When the Antichrist sets up himself in the temple or the Church of Christ, this will mark the abomination of desolation, according to Daniel 11 and Matthew 24. He will emerge from the church, so we have to pay attention. And also in Revelation 17, the Antichrist will rise up above the apostate world church and will try to destroy the church. I don't think Pope is the Antichrist. He may be close, but he is not the Antichrist, according to my observation and my understanding of Pope. Although he said, the Catholic theology says he is inerrant, but Pope never claims that he is God. But the moment that maybe next Pope or this Pope claim that he is God, then we know that he is the Antichrist. But anyhow, so far he has not said that. Let's look at verse 5 through 7. And do you not remember that while I was with you, I was telling you these things, and you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, and only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. I believe in Paul's time, Apostle Paul talked about the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, to the Thessalonians already. His point is that there is a force in verse 6. What restrains him now? So what is kind of force, right? But verse 7 he says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, only he who now restrains. So he refers to as a person. The person who restrains the activity of the Antichrist. People believe that this might be a divine force or even Holy Spirit, or it could be archangels like Gabriel or Michael. This the appearance of Antichrist was restrained or has been restrained by a divine force. But it says, only he knows now restraints will do so until he is taken out of the way. So there will be a time when this restrainer will be out of the way so that the Antichrist will emerge. So I think this couple of verses tell us that God is in control of time. Even the appearance of Antichrist is not out of God's plan, but it is God's plan. But God is holding back for the time being until the appearance of Antichrist will come. And look at verse 8. Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. I think verse 9 through 12, I think Apostle Paul will talk further about the Antichrist, but in verse 8 he gives the conclusion to give us comfort that this man will come, but Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end when the day of the Lord comes. So Jesus will be the avenger against Antichrist as well. So he will be killed by Christ. So Antichrist cannot overcome Jesus. You know, Christ will subdue him. And now look at verse 9. And that is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. So this is very important verse. This is the fourth things that have to happen during tribulation. The Antichrist will perform signs and wonders. And the man of lawlessness is not Satan himself, but rather an agent, human agent of Satan, as he's coming in accord with the activity of Satan. So he is empowered by Satan, and he will come with power, signs, and false wonders. So this is a very important point that we have to understand. You know, according to Acts 2:22, when Apostle Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he said this: Jesus, as a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him. So when Jesus came on earth, he preached the gospel, but also he performed the miracles and signs and wonders. And from that, people gave their credit or gave their trust by the performance of Jesus, because that was supernatural. But Antichrist will do the same thing. But this is the false ones, signs and wonders. But this is the false signs and wonders, which is not like what Jesus did, but it will appear to be the same. So the man of lawlessness will seek to convince people with the counterfeit powers and signs and wonders of Satan. But it will appear to be the real to the most of us. So we have to be very careful when we see someone performing spectacular, you know, supernatural, seemingly supernatural wonders and signs and this power. Because people are power hungry these days. They are looking for the power, you know, spectacular things. And so far, I don't think I have seen him, this activity. Have you? I don't know, because you know, I don't meet everyone, right? But you may meet someone that I haven't met. But be careful when you see this person doing spectacular thing to convince you that he is, you know, God. That is the Antichrist. And look at verse 10. And with all the deception of the wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. So another thing that will happen based on this verse, the people who reject the love of the truth will be deceived. You know, people who did not receive the love of the truth will be deceived and will be perished. The love of the truth is the acceptance and obedience of the gospel. The love of the truth is also the love for Jesus, who is the Savior and the Redeemer. When we don't have this love of the truth, then we will perish, as we will be deceived by the man of lawlessness. So love of the truth will save you, which is your saving faith, by the way. Saving faith and counterfeit faith is hard to discern. But the only parameter is whether you love that truth. Love of what Jesus says and who Jesus is, and your willingness to obey what Jesus says. That is love of the truth. That is your saving faith, by the way. If you don't have that saving faith, the love of the truth, we will be deceived and will be perishing. And many people, you know, more than almost 3/4 of Americans claim that they are a Christian. But out of the statistics, not even less than half believe that Jesus is divine. And you know, not even half of that believe that the Word of God is inspired. So what does that mean? Although people claim that they are Christian, but they don't have love of the truth. Two important truths about God is the Scripture is inspired, inerrant Word of God, living Word of God, and also Jesus is divine. Jesus is God. Those two pillars of the truth have been being undermined, even amongst the church. And let's look at the last couple of verses, 11 and 12. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. So the last thing that will happen during tribulation is the deceived people will be judged by God. So people who reject the love of the truth will be deceived, and these deceived people will be judged by God. You know, when you reject the truth, the love of the truth, you will believe what is false. There is no actually gray area. Whether you love the truth or be deceived by the falsehood because you don't have the love of the truth in you. And God is not the cause of their apostasy. If you read here, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. But God is not the cause of their apostasy. But He does not stop them from being under false influence of apostasy. Do you remember Pharaoh? You know, Pharaoh did not love the truth of God that Moses claimed and showed. He saw what God is doing, but he was stubborn to accept the truth of God. And he continued to reject the truth of God. At one point, God gave up, and Bible said, God did not give Pharaoh the right perspective. But it's not God. God is not the cause of that because of the stubbornness, continued stubbornness of Pharaoh's heart. God just gave up. In the same way, God is not cause of the apostasy, but when people continue to love the falsehood, not loving the truth, God will not stop them from being, eventually deceived, so that they would perish. Their choice of apostasy from the love of the truth will earn their condemnation. It seems that when we don't love the truth of Jesus, we'll end up taking pleasure in wickedness. Wickedness is nothing but the rejection of the truth of Jesus. You know, you may be a moral person, you may be a good person, but you can be wicked if there is no love of the truth of Jesus in your heart. You know, when you see many people, you know, we think that they are really great people. They are generous and kind and sacrificial even. And yet, some people don't have love of Jesus Christ in them. You know, they are called wicked. They are not any different from the people who commit obvious sins and living in an immoral life. From God's perspective, the commonality is that both category would not love the truth of God. And likewise, they will perish. You know, if you continue to live that way, God would not stop you from being perished that way. And this message of Apostle Paul is actually reaffirming what Jesus said in Matthew 24, 10 to 11. If you turn Matthew 24, verses 10 to 11, let's read this one and find this one and read together. This is very important. Matthew 24. Ten through 13. And at the time, many will fall away and will deliver up one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end shall be saved. Apostasy is coming within the church, and not from the world. The world is already in the pitch dark. There is nothing to further fall away from the pitch dark in the world. And the world is in the state of spiritual darkness already. And both Apostle Paul and Jesus are talking about what will happen within the church, the believing community. And most people's love will grow cold. This is the word of Jesus. It's almost a prophecy, but he knows that will happen. Prophet just received God's oracle, but Jesus himself is God. So this is out of his divine knowledge that most people's love will grow cold. This is the very word of Jesus. But those who love the truth of Jesus will be saved. So the saving faith is the faith that endures to the end, through the tribulations now and apostasy to come. And the core of this saving faith is the love of the truth of Jesus. You know, we can be sure that the man of lawlessness comes with signs and wonders, will be used to support claims that appeal to our natural desires, that we want to be, you know, supernatural, we want to be spectacular. That's a human desire. We want to show off those fantastic things, right? You know, people are chasing after that these days. I think Star Wars is attractive to kids because it shows that power, right? What is that called? Force be with you. They are looking after that. But that's the trap. You know, unless you have love of Jesus Christ in you, you will be deceived. And I will be deceived. Nobody is immune from this trend within the church. And therefore, the only defense against this appeal will be a deeper desire for God, a love of the truth of Jesus Christ. That's it. That is has to be our root. If you don't have that root, we'll be swayed away. We'll be convinced by those offenses that is to come. And if Christ is our personal and our treasure, if He satisfies our longings, and if we love the glory of His gospel, then the mystery of lawlessness will not overcome us. And our love will not grow cold, and we will endure to the end and be saved. Don't chase after external spectacular signs and wonders and miracles. You know, cultivate deep down in your heart the love for the truth of the gospel and the love for the word Jesus spoke, and then you will overcome the coming tribulation and be saved. May our Lord grant each one of us to receive the love of the truth of the gospel and the love of the truth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you loved us first, and Jesus is a demonstration of your love. And Jesus spoke all that which is needed for us. He is the truth. As Jesus said, I am the truth, and the life and the resurrection. Lord, by the help of your Holy Spirit, help us to receive this love of the truth deep down in our heart, and create a hunger for us to desire your presence and desire the truth of Jesus Christ, desire the Word of God. That is the truth of Jesus Christ. Father, let your word come alive in our hearts so that we long for, have communion with you and with your Son and with the Holy Spirit through the Scripture. Give us this desire in us, and create a thirst and hunger for you and your truth. And we know that you will lavish abundantly this love for the truth to each one of us as we ask for you and desire for that. May your Spirit come powerfully every day and revive our soul and our spirit and our heart to love you more. Lord, we thank you that love is eventually the power that overcomes all other powers that are counterfeit. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm with, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live moment I'm with, Lord, have your way in me.
Oh, Father, we honor you. We give thanks to you. We rejoice in you because of your joy, your love over us. We can rejoice always in the presence of our God, who is so pleased with our faith. Even now, we see you are rejoicing over this community. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love and your joy. At each passing moment, at every step of our life, our walk with you, Father, let us remember we have the good Father, we have joyful Father, we have loving Father who will not leave us alone like orphans, but you will be with us forever. We thank you for that. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our God who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us forever. Amen.